This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. And we're joined by two well-versed people on what's going on at the legislature. And it's been a session with a lot of social issues, again, being discussed. And one of those, of course, is the most sensitive issue of them all, probably abortion. And with us to talk about this and much more are Melissa Fournoy, former state lawmaker, former head of Planned Parenthood, now head of Louisiana Progress, and Benjamin Clapper, the influential head of the Louisiana Right to Life Group. He's executive director of that organization. And it appears that this is a session in which the state legislature will pass a bill to ban abortion in Louisiana after there is a fetal heartbeat detected. And Governor John Bel Edwards, being a pro-life Democrat, would seem inclined to sign it. We'll wait and see. But Ben Clapper, it looks like this has been a good session for you on the whole. What do you think of where the legislature is going?
You know, our legislature believes a fundamental truth that the unborn child is a human being, just like every embryology textbook believes that. And our legislature wants to protect those unborn children and do what they can to protect and the health and safety of mothers both before and after birth. And I think our legislature is looking for ways to move this ball down the road in order to protect the rights of these unborn children, both through the heartbeat bill and also through the constitutional amendment that's being moved forward right now on the Senate side, which would then go to a vote on October 12th. So I think this is a legislature, Republican, Democrat, black, white, men and women, who are committed to protecting human life, the fundamental human right of life.
And for those unfamiliar, the constitutional amendment that may be on the ballot, the same ballot that the governor's election will be included, what will it exactly say?
Yeah, so it will make sure that there's no state right to abortion in the state's constitution. Just a couple weeks ago, the Kansas Supreme Court decided that the Kansas Constitution secured a right to abortion in that state, even though the word abortion is not in the Kansas Constitution. We want to make sure that doesn't happen in Louisiana. We want to prevent basically a mini Roe v. Wade decision from happening here in Louisiana.
Is your ultimate goal to strike down all abortions in the state?
We believe every child, born and unborn, needs to be protected under law. There's not really a good enough difference between the two to determine that we shouldn't protect those. So we want to do everything that we can as a society and as a people to protect these children and also to support their mothers, whether that's through parenting or the option of adoption, to make sure that they have everything that they need to take care and to parent and raise a child for success in life.
And are you confident that Governor John Bel Edwards will be in accord and sign whatever legislation comes to his desk?
Absolutely. The governor is a pro-life Democrat. He's a model for the rest of the country as a leading pro-life Democrat, together with some of our great Democratic state legislators like Katrina Jackson in the state house. And he's been solidly pro-life, and we expect him to follow that model of the rest of the state.
Well, while most of the country, as far as Democrats are concerned, is pro-choice on the Democratic side, we have three notable Democrats in Louisiana in high places who are pro-life or anti-abortion, and Governor John Bel Edwards, State Senator John Milkovich, and State Representative Katrina Jackson. Melissa Fournoy, it appears the Louisiana legislature is right there with the legislature in Alabama, may very well go even beyond this at some point, but what's your take on where we are right now?
Jim, I just am kind of confused by this moment in time in a lot of ways because, you know, I understand how committed Ben Clapper is and the people of faith who really do care about abortion, and I appreciate their heartfelt concern for the unborn children. And but I just feel like we're having the totally wrong conversation. You know, I just don't frankly understand this fascination with abortion when people need to be talking about health care and prevention. To me, if we spend all the energy we're spending on talking about abortion, talking about health care and prevention, we could drive down the number of abortions in Louisiana and across the country. You know, I've spent my whole life talking about access to health care, how to help young people make good decisions and be sexually responsible. You know, and I really feel like we should be talking about health education, sex education, access to contraception, access to health care, male responsibility. None of these people would be pregnant if they didn't have a male partner. And so I just feel like we're having the totally wrong conversation fixated on abortion when we ought to be talking about healthy sexual decision-making and prevention.
877-217-5757, as you can hear, the battle lines are drawn between these two people who, I don't think, dislike each other, but they dislike the positions of the other. And yesterday we noted that the most conservative columnist in The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana, one Dan Fagan, noted that abortions hit a 10-year low in Louisiana last year. As he puts it, 8,084 babies were denied the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when they died at the hands of an abortionist. And Fagan goes on to say, thanks to Governor Edwards' leadership and others like him, we're moving closer to a day when a mother's womb will once again be the safest place on earth. Ben Clapper in Alabama, that legislature has gone so far as to basically ban all abortions and not even include a rape and incest exception. Is that where we're headed in Louisiana?
Well, you know, we're taking it one step at a time. You know, the Supreme Court still, you know, through its decisions of Roe v. Wade and the following decisions after that, kind of holds the cards on these questions. So everyone's kind of wanting to see what the court will do with this new composition of this court will do. And remember, Jim, we have a case that will probably be heard before the Supreme Court on our 2014 admitting privileges law, likely in January of 2020. The Supreme Court hasn't given full authorization to hear the oral arguments yet. But, you know, of course, this Alabama law that was passed and all these other laws that we're talking about right now, I mean, we're years from completion in the court process on all of these. So, you know, all of that is a little bit premature because it has to go through the district appellate and Supreme Court process. But I think Louisiana may have the clearest indication coming up in the next year, year and a half, of where this new Supreme Court will stand on these issues. And, of course, I respect Melissa and her opinions on the matter. And look, this, for us and for many, this is a clear violation of the human rights of these unborn children, right?
877-217-5757. And please be kind to our guests. We won't tolerate any personal attacks on either one of them. I know this is a passionate issue. We start with Mike in New Iberia. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I have two children, one hand-picked and one homegrown, so this is a very personal matter to me. And when I heard Ms. Flournoy say the responsibility of the male, as I understand the rules today, the male has been completely removed from the controller or discussion or any other part of it, absent the birth mother maybe involving him. But where's if the male is to be responsible, shouldn't the male have some opportunity in the decision-making on the process?
All right. Would you respond, Melissa? Thank you for calling, Mike in New Iberia. Melissa Flournoy?
Well, you know, I think that we don't I think abortion is really the most personal decision any family makes. And I think women make this decision and take it seriously. They make it with their health care providers. Many consult their families. You know, many of the women who are choosing to have abortions are actually married women who already have children that are choosing to have an abortion because they live in financially fragile situations. I just want to tone down the rhetoric. I mean, nobody thinks that a woman has an abortion in a cavalier area. I really want to talk about prevention. I'm proud of the fact that we have fewer abortions in Louisiana. I think a lot of that is due to the work of organizations and healthcare providers and advocates trying to focus on access to health care and access to birth control.
877-217-5757. Before we go to the break, and when we return, we'll take some more calls. There are some people, obviously, who wish to talk to Melissa Flournoy, former state lawmaker, and Benjamin Clapper, the Right to Life Louisiana Executive Director. Here's Pat Robertson, the esteemed televangelist, Yale-educated lawyer, the first really big televangelist since Bishop Fulton Sheen. He started the 700 Club almost a half century ago. Here he is commenting on what they've done in Alabama.
I think Alabama has gone too far. They've passed a law that would give a 99-year prison sentence to people who can commit abortion. There's no exception for rape or incest. It's an extreme law, and they want to challenge Roe versus Wade, but my humble view is that this is not the case we want to bring to the Supreme Court, because I think this one will lose.
That's Pat Robertson, and we'll get the take on what's going on this and other matters. Benjamin Clapper also fought successfully against passage of the ERA in the Louisiana legislature this year. And Melissa Flournoy was a proponent. 877-217-5757. We're back in 90 seconds. Matt Doyle is producing, and we have Benjamin Clapper, Executive Director of Louisiana Right to Life, and Melissa Flournoy, former state lawmaker from Shreveport, now making her home in Baton Rouge, where she is head of Louisiana Progress. They're debating a few issues, but right now, of course, we're talking about the most sensitive one of them all, abortion. And Roe v. Wade made abortion rights the law of the land in 1973, January 22, and now 46 and a half years later, we may have a change. We're talking to two people who have followed the trail closely, and let's go to Gabby in Prairieville. Gabby, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. Actually, my name is Debbie.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Debbie.
That's okay. Yes. I'm a pro-choice advocate. I was attacked in 1987, and I guarantee you if I would have become pregnant through that attack, I would have had an abortion immediately. I would have had a DNC done, which is considered the same thing if you have conceived a pregnancy at that point. I think it's unfair for anyone to determine what a woman's rights are to carry a child, whether it is an incest or a rape or any decision made for a woman's body is between her and her God.
All right. Thank you, Debbie, for sharing your story, and I apologize for getting your name wrong. Benjamin Clapper, what's your response to Debbie, who obviously is a very sincere person?
Sure. Well, look, first, Debbie, I'm so sorry for what happened to you, and our justice system needs to take seriously efforts to make sure that perpetrators of rape and incest are convicted convicted to the fullest extent of the law. There should be no equivocation on that matter in the state. And so I certainly feel for your situation. You know, as it comes to the larger question in society, which is often brought up of, quote, rape, abortion after rape and incest, you know, we got to first recognize that the percentage of abortions due to rape and incest is less than 1% of all abortions. So I think first we have to recognize that if we're going to talk about this, we have to recognize that this is happening very infrequently, and talk about the majority of abortions which are done not because of those reasons.
All right, Melissa Flournoy, your response to
listen,
Debbie.
Let me just take a deep breath, okay? Because in the Louisiana legislature, I guess last week or the week before, the Senate was just Health and Welfare Committee was talking about Senator Milkovich's bill about eliminating abortion after 6 weeks, and the Senate committee actually added an amendment that provided exceptions for rape and incest. And then Ben Clapper came to the table and said, I don't like that amendment for rape and incest. And they took that amendment off. And so, Ben, my question is, if it's such a small percentage and you know how traumatic this is for women, why are you against an exception for rape and incest? Because the Senate wanted to add.
All right, well,
that
let's let him respond, it. Melissa. Thank you. Ben, would you respond, please?
Sure. Absolutely, Melissa. Yeah, and I was about to say that even though it's a small percentage, these unborn children, biologically speaking, they're no different than children conceived in any other manner. They their heart still begins beating 18 days after conception. Look, we should not be punishing the child for the crimes of the father. We need to be sensitive, and we need to convict those who perpetrate rape and incest. But we need to remember that these unborn children need our protection. They're—
All right. Richard in Gonzales. Richard, you're on with Melissa Fornoy and Benjamin Clapper. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
Fine.
You know, this whole topic's been going on for quite some time, and I've always expressed confusion. I find myself in the middle of the aisle in a sense that on a conservative view, it's all about limiting government involvement in personal lives, and yet they seem to kind of take this head on and, you know, express their concerns and limit the rights of certain citizens. And on the other aspect of it, you kind of tie them with the logic with immigration. We're so against illegal immigration, or even though it's children, we turn them away. And the conversation is, well, they're not U.S. citizens. And, you know, these unborn children technically aren't citizens yet either. So should we start issuing birth certificates or conception certificates and social security numbers to kind of tie everything in? I know.
All right. What about that? Thank you, Richard. Ben Clapper?
Sure. I appreciate your comment. You know, the unborn, people say people getting involved with the government's lives. See, what abortion does is it get involved and it denies the fundamental right of these human beings. Look, every embryologist says that the unborn child from the moment of conception is a human being. We wouldn't do what we do to unborn children, to born children. They should have their rights protected, too. There's no good line to separate them in these situations. If we're going to protect born children from infanticide and things like that, then we need to be protecting unborn children as well, because they're really not that different than us. They need to be protected.
Mm-hmm. What's your position on the death penalty, Benjamin Clapper?
Yeah, good question, Jim. I personally am opposed to the death penalty. I believe it's not practical, and I don't think it works, and I think it's immoral as well. Our organization doesn't take a position on it. You know, we were founded in 1970 together with organizations across the country. And, you know, we, as obviously I wasn't there at the time, but we determined that we should take a position on this. We should not take a position on the death penalty, and the same reason we don't take a position on things like contraception, right?
All right, but you did take a position on the Equal Rights Amendment. You were against that. Why?
Sure, that's correct, because the Equal Rights Amendment, as interpreted by courts, would expand and cement a right to abortion, even the government funding of abortion. This is what happened in New Mexico in 1988. Even NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, has stated that if the ERA was ratified in the U.S. Constitution, then it would strike down all pro-life laws in states across the country.
All right. Melissa Fornoy, the Equal Rights Amendment is very short in its text. It does not say anything about abortion specifically, but your thoughts about where Ben Clapper is coming from.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. I really wish that women had the rights that Benjamin wants to give to a 18-week-old idea of a person. And I really wish that we could, you know, talk about equality in a way that didn't come around back to abortion. You know, if we talked about access to health care, if we talked about prevention, if we talked about sex ed, we could reduce abortion. I guess I'm fundamentally frustrated that Ben thinks that a pregnant woman is just a host for a baby and has no individual rights or agency herself. And I think that's frankly where I think a lot of folks are just get twisted up into this discussion.
Dan downtown. Hi, Dan. You're on with Ben Clapper and Melissa Fornoy. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Clapper. Is the health and well-being of the unborn children important enough for the Republican legislators to stop kneeling at the altar of Grover Norquist and make big oil and other corporate paymasters start assuming their fair share of taxes to pay for that well-being?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Certainly, you know, as an organization, we don't take a position on these other things that you referred to in this situation. You know, I will remind you that our legislature, the pro-life leaders, are not just Republicans. We have strong Democratic leaders in our pro-life cause, and State Representative Katrina Jackson is a clear example of someone who's fighting for the baby both before and after birth, kind of in the way that you're talking about. And remember, Most of the pro-life cause is focused on pregnancy help centers that are helping mothers before and after birth.
Chris in Magnolia Woods, please be brief. Chris, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. Yes, I had a question for Mr. Clapper. An earlier caller had mentioned, I thought, a really interesting paradox in Republican policy, which is this specifically about the rape and incest clause. The caller had related it to the fact that compared it to the recent detaining of children of undocumented immigrants. And Mr. Clapper had said, you know, we don't punish the child for the sins of the father. So I wonder what the response is for why we're detaining children for the sins of the father.
All right. We'll get his response when we return, and we'll talk more with Benjamin Clapper and Melissa Flournoy. I see one line open for the first time in a while, 877-217-5757, our number. Now the impeccable Karen Henderson with the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Benjamin Clapper, head of Louisiana Right to Life, and Melissa Flournoy, head of Louisiana Progress. They're here discussing some issues, and obviously any time we start talking about abortion, people call in, and that's good because this is a passionate issue, and we want to hear your viewpoints. But as stated before, please be cordial to our guests. Let's go to Q on Old Hammond, but before we go there, I wanted Ben Clapper to respond to what the previous caller, Chris in Magnolia Woods, mentioned about immigration and the way those children are treated compared to your attempt to save the unborn children who are aborted. What is your position, Benjamin Clapper?
Sure. Well, you know, our organization doesn't take a position on immigration. You know, we're sensitive to the needs of children in these situations. I certainly will. The position of the Catholic bishops on this matter is to not separate the children in these matters, and I'm sympathetic to that. You know, but remember, in abortion, right now in Louisiana, there are 8,048 children whose heart are beating and their heart is stopped through a violent process called abortion. And we have to remember that we can't just compare this to other issues. We have to remember that this is a violation of these children's human rights.
All right, Melissa Flournoy, please respond.
Benjamin, I would love to invite you to start a broader conversation about a pro-family agenda, because I think your obsession around abortion, I understand it, but why can't we get in a bigger conversation around prevention, sex ed, and health care to reduce the number of pregnancies so that folks do not feel like they're compelled to choose abortion? Why can't we find common ground on health education, access to health care, and contraception? Are you against contraception? That's what I can't figure out. And then why can't we have more of a pro-family agenda?
All right, you've asked him a question. I'd like for him to respond about contraception.
Well, I have a second question, Jim.
All right, well, let him respond to the first one, one at a time,
okay,
please.
Okay, as long as you let me ask my second
no,
question.
No, well, I will, but I want
to... Well, I think if she asks me one, I get to ask her one. That seems fair.
All right, that's fair
Most
enough.
Of the questions have been addressed to me, so she's responded to my response. You know, our organization does not take a position on contraception. We're not opposed to it. We don't support it. Our focus is on restoring the rights of the unborn child in these situations.
All
Melissa,
right.
Well, my question, I guess, to Melissa in this situation would be, why does she want to reduce the number of abortions? If you support abortion, what would be the value for you of reducing the number of abortions?
Oh, I would personally like to make contraception and health education and sex education available to everyone. I wouldn't want anyone to ever feel compelled to have an abortion. You know, Ben, I'm not for abortion. I'm for the right to abortion, because we don't make decisions we don't live in other people's lives. We don't know what they're faced. We don't know what the circumstances are that created that pregnancy. You know, I just feel like I need to trust women and their partners who have to make very difficult decisions. I think abortion needs to be legal. I think it needs to be provided in the best quality health care centers around.
Q on Old Hammond. Hi, Q. You're on with Melissa and Benjamin Clapper.
Hi. thank you for having me on. I just wanted to give us some numbers so people can understand what's going on here with abortion. 91% of abortions happen in the first trimester, which is 13 weeks. 7.6% are 14 to 20 weeks. And then 1.3% are at 21 weeks or above that. That is still before viability. Any children who are being aborted in the third trimester cost $25,000 or even that, and it's because of either fetal anomalies or something is going on with the mother. I have a problem with the pro-life movement making pictures of full-term babies as if they are the ones being aborted every day, all day. These are decisions that women and their families and their doctors should only be making.
All right. Thank you, Q. Benjamin Clapper, please respond.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't think in this time today I've claimed that the majority of abortions are later or earlier or whatnot. You know, there's still you can't draw a line between the value of a human being. See, what we did in previous generations and previous centuries in our world was we drew lines between the value and the dignity of some humans and others, and we said some aren't valuable and some are. The thing is, we think there should be value, intrinsic value, to every human being, whether they're in unborn, whether they're in the womb, or they're out of the womb. There's no intellectually honest way to draw that line. Ms. Flournoy can't draw that line, and no other pro-choice advocate can draw that line. Human rights should be protected from beginning to end.
Melissa?
Okay, this is my second comment. I want every child born in the country and in the world to be a wanted child. And I want that child to have access to food and nourishment and health care. And so I would like to invite the pro-life movement in Louisiana to support a pro-family agenda. Because my frustration is right now it seems like life begins at conception and ends at birth. So please be an advocate for maternal child health. Paid family leave is coming up next week. Be for paid family leave. Right now we've got women giving birth and then having to go back to work in 2 weeks. We need paid family leave. We need access to child care. We need supports for new mothers. We need to fully fund the nurse-family partnership. I mean, they're just abandoned babies after they're brought into the world. We need a pro-family agenda. And I just really feel like the pro-life groups are so strong and so well organized and so powerful that we could transform Louisiana and improve the lives of every child if we focused on how to ensure that every child has a good start in life.
All right, Benjamin. Benjamin, would you respond to Melissa, please?
Sure. Issues like paid family leave and other things. You know, again, that's not an issue that we're going to take a position on. As an organization, I will say that we have 35 pregnancy centers that work with us across the state that are helping mothers before and after birth, helping them with GED programs, helping them with diapers, helping them with supplies throughout years after their birth to help them get on their feet and give them what they need to get on their feet. You know, but Melissa, you still didn't talk about where's that line, right? If you told me that you want to reduce abortions, if you told me that you don't support abortion, like you said, you support the access to abortion, but there still has got to be a line, because I'm sure you wouldn't want to support, you know, ending the life or killing a baby outside the womb. So there has to be a line that you're going to draw between when is a child valuable and when their life is not valuable so that we can legally end their life through an abortion.
Well, you know, Ben, I have to say we're looking at this from two very different perspectives. Because my question is when is the life of the mother valuable?
Jim on I-12. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Please be brief. You're on with Melissa and Benjamin.
Certainly. I think the problem with most of these very draconian laws is that the lawmakers don't ever actually follow them through to their logical conclusions. And the problem is that right now with our new heartbeat law is that our fetuses can now file for food stamps. They can get WIC, Medicaid, Medicare. the mothers. They can absolutely get themselves life insurance on their fetus.
All right. That's another line that obviously Jim is reflecting on. Is that a valid statement on his part, Benjamin Clapper?
Well, you know, I don't think the heartbeat bill says those things. So, you know, those laws that you mentioned, all those different ones, I mean, I guess you'd have to look at exactly what those laws say about what people can and cannot receive that. You know, I can't comment. I don't know those laws.
David in Atlanta. Hello, David. Please be brief. You're on with Benjamin Clapper and Melissa Flournoy.
80,000 women die in countries every year where abortions are illegal. Some women have resorted to using battery acid. And, Mr. Clapper, how many children you have adopted and how many children you have contributed to their support that are not yours like I have done?
All right.
Sure. Well, you know, I can say that my family is currently looking and interested in adoption right now. You know, so that's one thing. You know, right now in America, for every 100 abortions, there's only 2 adoptions. And that's not because families don't want to have adoptions. That's because the abortion industry and these abortion facilities are not encouraging women to have adoptions.
Melissa Flournoy, is that an accurate statement or do you take exception?
I think that's an inaccurate statement. And I cannot speak on behalf of Planned Parenthood. But when I was the director of Planned Parenthood, I met with the St. Elizabeth Adoption Foundation because I really do believe women need to understand all of their options if they're pregnant and to make an informed decision. And I was told after meeting with the staff of the St. Elizabeth Foundation, they were not allowed to talk to Planned Parenthood.
All right. Travis on I-10. Travis, you're on the air.
Yeah. I just kind of, I'll try to be as quick as I can and as calm as I can, but basically what I want to know is if you have a scenario where a woman is, if she becomes pregnant through an act of rape, and let's say she's a married woman, how do you say that it is worth putting them through the trauma of having a man watch his wife go through a pregnancy for 9-10 months, giving birth to this child of that, you know, product of that act?
All right. What about the tragedy of rape and having to bear a child if you don't want to after you've been raped? Ben Clapper?
Yeah, you know, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible situation that the person has to go through. Again, as I said earlier, the child shouldn't be, you know, brutally ripped apart limb by limb because of the sins or the crime.
All right. Melissa, I want to give you the last word. We've got about 20 seconds.
I think that Louisiana needs to be a pro-family state. I would like to invite all pro-life advocates to work on early childhood, on paid leave.
All right, we've got a roll. But thank you, Melissa Flournoy and Benjamin Clapper, and we'll return after this timeout.